Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf mem in Shabbos. We're back on Lamed Tes. Let's go. The topic of discussion that we had yesterday was Bishop Bachama cooking in the sun. So cooking in the sun is mutar on Shabbos. Now, again, I had struggled yesterday to try to explain why that should be, why it's okay to cook in the sun. Okay, I quoted Rashi yesterday. Rashi said that it's ein derech bishul bekach. That's not the normal way that people cook. Okay, and as I mentioned yesterday, I'm not sure what Rashi means by that, but okay, it's mutter. Okay, so as long as something is mutter on Shabbos, so let's be clear about it. It's mutter. You're allowed to cook in the sun. Now, but what you're not allowed to do is told us chama, any derivative. Anything that was heated by the sun, so you're not allowed to cook in that. So if you have a frying pan that was out there in the hot sun, or if you have the hood of your car, which is, that thing gets hot. So out there in the hot sun, and you fry an egg on that, so that's usur. That you're not allowed to do. Now, why not? Meaning, if the chama is mutter, so why should the toldos chama be usur? So the Gemara explained yesterday, it's a gzera. It's a rabbinic decree. The rabbis were concerned that if you cook in the toldos chama, the casual observer does not know that you heated that up by the sun. He's going to say to himself, oh, must have heated it up in his over the fire in his oven. So and the person's going to walk away thinking that bishul is mutter on Shabbos. So because of the perception that's created by cooking in a tolada, in a derivative of the sun, so therefore that becomes usur midrabbanan. This is not agreed to by everybody. Rav Yossi in the Mishnah disagrees. Rav Yossi says that there's no such gzeirin. Rav Yossi says that Bishul Bechama would be mutter. Okay, but that's not the halacha. Halacha does not follow like Rav Yossi, but the halacha follows like the Chachamim, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that one is not allowed to cook in Toldas Chama in a derivative of the sun. Okay, that's what we saw yesterday. And then we moved on in the Mishnah to the next case, which is burying an egg in the sand, where the Mishnah says you can't do that. Now, if you're the Chachamim, you understand why. Because how is that egg getting heated up? It's getting heated up by the dirt, which in turn is getting heated up by the sun, but it's told as Chama. It's a derivative of the sun. So we understand why the Chachamim say it's Aser. Here's what we don't understand. At least the Gemara is really struggling. Where's Rav Yossi? Rav Yossi, who says that told as Chama is Mutter, so why doesn't Rav Yossi there in the case of burying the egg in the sand, why doesn't Rav Yossi say anything? And this was the Gemara's question. We went over this yesterday in Daf, and the Gemara gives two answers. One answer by Rab, and the other answer is by Rav Yosef. Rab's answer is Gzera Shamayatmin, Beremetz. I may end up doing Hatmana Beremetz. In other words, what the sand obviously is something that doesn't add heat, but if I end up burying the egg in a sand, so my next step will be I'll be burying egg in something that'll add, that'll add heat, that's called Hatmana Bedavra Hamosif Hevel, which we've learned is usur, not only usur on Shabbos, but usur before Shabbos as well. So that's one consideration, that's one concern. And so even though Rav Yossi says that told us Cham is mutter, but here he asks it for a totally different reason, because I may end up enveloping it in coals. Okay. The second answer in the Gemara was given by Rav Yosef. This is all just a review of yesterday. Second answer is given by Rav Yosef, and he says that Mimnesha Mazes offer Mimkomo, I may move dirt. Now, there's a couple ways to understand Rav Yosef, as I mentioned yesterday. Rashi understands that this is really an issue of digging a hole in the ground, right? We discussed, according to Rashi yesterday, why isn't the malacha she'ein of tzrich l'gufa? And so what we suggested for Rashi, not we, but Tosa suggested on behalf of Rashi, is that, well, maybe what the concern is that the egg is not deep into the ground, and I might have to dig the hole deeper. Okay, so that's Rashi's understanding of what the concern is. And then Tosu says the issue is an issue of muktzah, meaning dirt on Shabbos is muktzah, and I may end up moving dirt around on Shabbos. Now, even though this is tiltum and atzad, meaning I'm not moving the dirt with my hands, I'm moving the dirt by pushing the egg into the ground. So that's what's called tiltum and atzad. We'll learn later on together, tiltum and atzad is mutter. But nevertheless, over here, Rav Yosef says that it's usur. Okay, so anyway, so those are the two explanations of why Rav Yosef would agree that burying the egg in the sand on Shabbos is usur, even though he normally holds told us Cham is mutter. My Beinayu, we pick it up right where we left off from yesterday. Is there going to be a practical difference between Rabban and Rav Yosef? Because my Beinayu, the Gemara says, sure. For Tichuach, what if the dirt is really loose? Now, if it's an issue of burying in the ground is only going to be an issue is if you're only unearthing, meaning it's earth that's in the ground, and you're unearthing, but it's already like a sandbox, so to say, so there's no issue of choresh. In other words, you're not plowing because the dirt is already loose. If the issue is an issue of muksa, like Tosu says, well, offer tichuach, it must be that you prepare the your miyached the earth before Shabbos, and so therefore there's no muktzah issues. Okay. Now, Meisrei Rosh Shimon Gamliel Amar Megagel and Beitz Agabe Gag Roseach Ve'im Megagel and Beitz Agabe Sid Roseach. Now, the Gemara challenge is based on a brisa. The brisa over here quotes in the name of Rosh Shimon Gamliel that you're allowed to roast an egg, cook an egg on top of a rooftop, but not al Sid Roseach, but not on top of limestone. Now, the limestone is heated up by fire, so that's going to be aser. The roof, well, there's, you know, there's a little bit on top of the roof, but okay. Now, Bishlam Lamandar Xavier Shamiyat Member Emmets Lake Lamigzar. Now, if the issue was an issue of a concern that I'll do Hatmana with something that adds heat, so over here there's no concern. Presumably, there's no concern. The you don't do Hatmana on your roof. So, in other words, burying in the sand may lead to burying it in something that'll add heat. But just simply leaving it on your rooftop, there's no concern whatsoever. I'm sorry, legzer. So the Gemara wonders, but if the issue is that I may end up moving sand, which again, according to Tosos, is a muktzah issue, so why are we worried about that on the rooftop? So the Gemara answers very simply, stam gag, leiz bay offer. Because there is no sand on top of the roof. I guess in the question, the Gemara thought that there was sand on the roof, but the Gemara answers very simply, no sand on the roof. Okay. And by the way, I'm sure you realize, but I just want to make sure everyone's clear about this. This brisa that allows you to cook is it could be going like Rav Yossi, because when you're cooking on the roof, what's doing the cooking? The sun or the rooftop? I'm not sure about that. I take it back. I was going to say that this brisa is obviously going like Rav Yossi. I'm not sure. Okay. Anyway, let's move on. Tashma, Maisa Shasma, Anshe Tver, Ve'evisilin, Shalson, Latoch, Amma, Shalchamen. Once again, we're going to return to the story of Tveria. In Tveria, they put a cold pipe of water in, and they ran it into hot water, and by doing so, you're cooking the cold water. And you're cooking the cold water by enveloping it in the hot water. Ve'evisilin, Shalson, Latoch, Amma, Shalchamen. Now, Bishlaman, Laman, Amr, Xer, Shamayat, Member, Amitaina, Damilatmana. Now over here, if your issue is that you're not allowed to put the egg into the sand because I may end up doing hatmana in Bedevar Amosif Hevel, so over here you understand. This is basically hatmana, meaning I'm taking a cold pipe of water and I'm running it into hot water. The hot water now is enveloping the cold water in hatmana. Elaman damar mineshim azizafar minkoma maikel amemar. But if the issue is that I may end up moving dirt, we're talking about water over here. There's no dirt to discuss. So the Gemara says, "Mitzvahs ma'isa tveria sefakai areishakai lo yifke enu besudarim v'rav yosi matir." So the Gemara says, "Well, you assume that when the Mishnah brought in the incident of Tveria, it was going on that last point of the Mishnah." No, says the Gemara, "It was going on the first point of the Mishnah. Notably, it was going on the part of the Mishnah that talked about roasting on top of the shmata." V'hachi kamerli rabban l'rav yosi ha'maisa danshi tveria. The toldos chamahu v'asulu rabbanan, and essentially the rabbis said to Rav Yossi, "How can you say that toldos chama is mutter? Look at this case with Anshe Tveria. Anshe Tveria, what do they use? They heated up cold water on Shabbos, and what was their heating element? The hot springs of Tveria. Well, how did the hot springs of Tveria get hot? It got hot through the sun. Well, now I'm not sure if the Gemara means that it got hot by the sun, meaning." It could be that there's another source of heat, but you know how it didn't get hot? It didn't get hot by fire. So in other words, Anshe Tveria is a case where it's essentially toldos chama, and meanwhile, the rabbi said you can't heat up cold water in Chamei Tveria. So you see that toldos chama is aser. So they said to Rav Yossi, how can you possibly maintain that toldos chama is mutter? And now what's Rav Yossi's answer? Interesting. So Hamaisa Anshe Tveria toldos chamahu v'asulu rabbanan amar lahu. Rav Yossi's response is, "Hahu told us orhu." You're wrong. You're wrong about what heats up Anshe Tveria. What heats up Anshe Tveria is not the sun or anything similar to the sun. It's fire. And the chalfe apischa de gehinom. And the Gemara says, and why? Because Anshe Tveria goes over the fires of Gehinom, and that's how it gets hot. Now, again, do I understand the Gemara from my modern perspective? No, but I'm not so modern, so I don't have to worry so much about understanding the Gemara from from that perspective, but essentially they're having a debate in terms of how Chami Terer get heated up. And Rav Yossi says, I agree with you, they asered it. They asered cooking in Chami Tveria. But that's told us Ha'or, that's not told us Chama. Doesn't impact my position whatsoever. Okay, so to quickly wrap up now, we have a machlokus between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim. Cooking in Chama itself, mutter, according to everybody. Cooking in Toldos Chama, machlokus between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim are machmir, as are we, and Rav Yossi is meko. There are going to be occasions where Rav Yossi himself is going to concede, like the example of burying the egg in the sand, he'll concede on that point. So why is there going to be a concession by Rav Yossi? So the Gemara offers two explanations why Rav Yossi concedes. Okay. Amar Rav Chista. We go on. We're on the very bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. We're turning the page. Mimaisa Shasu Anshei Tveria V'asulu Rabbanan Badla Hatmana B'davar HaMosif Hevel V'afilu Miba'od Yom. What do we learn from this story of Anshei Tveria? So he says, you know what we learn? We learn that Hatmana is Asar. And not just Hatmana, but Hatmana B'davar HaMosif Hevel, meaning if I envelop a food wrapped around with something that'll add heat, and therefore cooking the food inside, insulating and cooking the food inside, that's going to be asur. And even if I do it mi ba'od yom, because think about Chamei Tveria. Chamei Tveria is a natural spring. And they ran the water in, not only on Shabbos, but even before Shabbos as well. And still the Chachamim said it's asur. So therefore what we learn from there is that it's asur. Now, what did the Gemara just say? I mean, I know I just said it, but let's now take stock of what the Gemara just said. The Gemara says that Hatmana B'davar HaMosif Hevel is Asar. And we learn from the story of Chamei Tveria. What? We learn from the story of Chamei Tveria? What do you mean we learn from the story of Chamei Tveria? The Mishnayos talk about it. The Mishnayos say it's Asar. Why is the Gemara pointing to the story of Chamei Tveria and saying, you see, you're not allowed to wrap up food, insulate food with something that adds heat. And even before Shabbos. It's a Mishnah. This question doesn't bother me. This question bothers Tosfos. Top Tosfos on the Amud. The Im Tomar. Matzarich lemelav mimaisa danshei tveria. Hamas nisen hi. Dein tomin bedavar mosif hevel beperek bametomnin. Meaning we're going to have an entire perek of Shas dedicated to this topic. That will be the fourth perek of Shabbos. We'll get there a couple weeks from now. But not that long. But in other words, we still have a lot of a third perek left. So, but anyway, the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to do hatmana bedavar mosif hevel. So why over here the Gemara is kind of, well, let's delve into the story of Anshei Tveria and the Chamei Tveria, and let's see what we can learn from here. What you saw is nothing more than just a Mishnah. The Mishnah says it later on. So and clearly the Mishnah over there in Bamet Tomnim is talking about before Shabbos, because on Shabbos itself you can't do Hatmana at all. Not with something that will add heat, so not with something that won't add heat. So obviously the Mishnah over there is talking about Mibo Yom. So in other words, what are we doing here in our Gemara? We're drawing a conclusion from Chamei Tveria when all you have to do is just have to know a Mishnah in order to arrive at that conclusion. So Kedamina Beperek Beis Va'omari. So the Gemara, Tosfos significantly bothered by this, makes a couple suggestions. Va'omari Demasis Nelakam and Ikaluk Ma Bemen Hashmashos Aval Mibo Yom Havamina Deshare. So one suggestion of Tosfos is, well, maybe if it were just that Mishnah alone, maybe that Mishnah would answer only Bein HaShmashos. But you might have thought, Havamina, you might have thought that Mi Ba'od Yom, that Friday afternoon, you want to do Hatmana, that's okay. And along comes the story of Chamei Tveria to tell us that even Mi Ba'od Yom, it would not be okay. That is one suggestion of Tosfos. Another suggestion of Tosfos, I move on. Another suggestion of Tosfos, Rav Shmuel may Vardian. I dropped down in Tosfos about 8 lines from the bottom of the Tosfos. Mefarsh b'maisa anshei tveria batla hatmana da asar afilo echol, meaning that not only is hatmana asar, not only the act asar, but eating the food that was mutman. I made up that word. It may not be right, but in other words, hopefully you understand. Eating the food is going to be asur as well. Okay, so in other words, that's another possibility of what we're learning from the story of Chamei Tveria. We knew Hatmana was asur, but what we gain over here is the food itself is going to be asur as well. Rabbeinu Yonah mefaresh batla afila b'gder chaisa. V'hainu dekamra batla mashman legamri mechol davar. And maybe a third suggestion of Tosfos is the following. You know what we learn from the story of Chami Tveria? Chami Tveria and Hatmana is going to be aser, even if it's a raw food. Now, we learned earlier, the end of the first perek, that if I throw a raw food in the pot right before Shabbos, that would be okay, even though we've had the long discussion of how well does the food have to be cooked going into Shabbos. Does it have to be Mavusha Kotzarcha? Does it have to be cooked Michael Ben Drusai? Machlokis Chachamim and Chananya? Right, that's all the third perek. But back in the first parak, what we learned is if I throw a raw piece of food in, so then that would make it okay. Why is it going to make it okay? Because once it's raw, you have at that point in time said, there's no way it's going to be ready by tonight. I will not tamper with the fire tonight. And tomorrow we'll enjoy the cooked piece of food. So therefore, there's no worry about Shemichat B'Gachalim. What Rabbeinu Yonah now suggests is, what do we learn from the Chami Tveria? Even if it's raw, I still can't do Hatmana B'davar HaMosif Hevel. Meaning Hatmana B'davar HaMosif Hevel is going to be usher under all circumstances, and even the heter, so to say, of Kedera Chaisa will not apply to Hatmana B'davar HaMosif Hevel. Three suggestions of Tosfos in terms of what we have learned, what we have gleaned from the story of Chami Tveria. Let's go back to the Gemara. Amalei Rav Nachman. No, I skipped an important line. Amar Ula. Halacha Ka'anshei Tveria. Now, Ula says the halacha is like the members of Tveria. Now, that's a funny line. That's a strange line, because the Gemara, I mean, the Chachamim clearly said it's not okay, and right, and they told Anshei Tveria don't do that, and so Ula paskening like the Anshei Tveria that you're allowed to heat up water in the hot springs of Tveria. Okay, that's what Ula says. Amalei Rav Nachman Kvar Tavrinu Anshei Tveria Lasi Lu Naihu. And Rav Nachman says, you're wrong. It's not correct. Meaning the halacha does not fall like Anshei Tveria. And when the Chachamim told them to break their pipes, you know what they did? They broke their pipes, meaning, okay, you're right, we won't heat up the water in the Chami Tveria anymore. So Rav Nachman says, the halacha is not like Anshei Tveria. Masu Shansu Anshei Tveria. And now, from this point forward, for the rest of today, we have the pleasure of learning about bathing on Shabbos and on Yatav. Now, there really are the related discussions, but they are different, though. Bathing on Shabbos versus bathing on Yantav. Because, you know, on Yantav, you are allowed to heat up water on Yantav for the purposes of consumption.
Break their pipes. I thought that they could use it on
weekdays. And so, in other words, just for Shabbos alone, it wasn't worth breaking their pipes. Right? That's what you're asking? Okay. That's a good question. Okay. I don't know. Okay, maybe they wanted to show their respect to the Chachamim. I know it's a difficult concept. Yeah. So the very good. So the it's not the same. Cooking on Shabbos, cooking on Yom Tov is not the same. But still, though, as we're about to learn, there's a gzeira that one is not allowed to take a bath in hot water, neither on Shabbos nor on Yom Tov. Now, let's just speak outside of the Gemara for just a moment, and then we'll go into the Gemara itself. Now, obviously, on Shabbos, to heat the water up on Shabbos, to bathe in that water is absolutely usur. Meaning it's bishul. That's a performance of the act of bishul, and that you know you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. And even though I'm not doing bishul to cook, to eat, I'm doing bishul to bathe, but bishul's bishul. All right, what difference does it make why I'm doing bishul?
Is the bishul part is the problem? I mean, if a goy bring you hot water...
Wait. Slow. Step by step. Okay, now, how about this? How about just simply heating the water up before Shabbos? And then bathing in that water on Shabbos. So, if you think about it, there's nothing wrong with that. Right? In other words, I'm just speaking outside right now. Obviously, we're going to learn about Gzeira de Rabbanan, but we're just thinking it through. It's fine. Meaning, I didn't do the act of bishul on Shabbos itself. The act of bishul was done before. And what am I doing on Shabbos? I'm taking a bath. Right? You're allowed to get clean on Shabbos. There's no... And now, I guess you could talk about libun. But libun is a malacha on your clothing. It's not a malacha. In other words, there's no issue. Okay. So, what we're going to be learning about is... Now, the Gemara is going to kind of work a little bit backwards, but we're used to that already. We know sometimes the Gemara works backwards. There's a story behind... I'm sorry. There's a story behind not bathing on Shabbos. And we'll learn the story later on. Meaning the story is going to come up on Daf Mem. But essentially, to make the long story really short, the rabbis made a gzera. They banned bathing on Shabbos, even with water that was needed before Shabbos. Now there are going to be some exceptions to the ban, and you know, Gemara speak, meaning we get the real legalities of the discussion. But really, this discussion of bathing on Shabbos is a gzera derabbanan. Let's start the Gemara inside. Now, you remember what the Mishnah said? Well, let's go back. Let's review. The Mishnah said, "Maisa she'asar anshei Tveria." The Mishnah is back on Chesamid Beis on the bottom. Ve'evisil shonson la'tocham shalchamin amulem chachamim. And here's what the rabbi said to them: "In b'Shabbos, if you did this on Shabbos, meaning if you bathed on Shabbos, kecham she'uchma b'Shabbos." Sorry, not if you bathed. I apologize. Not correct. If you heated the water up on Shabbos, it's like water that was cooked on Shabbos. Ve'arsurim berechitza v'shtiya. And therefore you're not allowed to neither bathe nor drink that water. In b'yom tov, if you did this, if you pour the cold water into the chametveri on yontiv, that's like water which is cooked on yontiv. Ve'asurim berechitza, you're not allowed to bathe in that water, but mutarim b'shtiya, but you're allowed to drink that water. That's what we learned back in the Mishnah. So essentially, what the Chachamim said is, basically you accomplish if you cook in chametveri on Shabbos, you cooked, plain and simple. And so, therefore, on Shabbos, the consequence would be that for any water which is cooked on Shabbos, you're not allowed to drink that water. You're not allowed to bathe in that water. Same thing with this water over here. Now, the Gemara says, let's think about this for a moment. My rechitza. Ilema rechitza is called gufo. Are we talking about bathing your whole body? Allah chamish uchma b'Shabbos hu dasur, and ha chamish uchma b'er Shabbos mutarin. Well, let's apply a little deductive reasoning. Meaning, on Shabbos itself, I'm not allowed to take a bath with this water that was heated up on Shabbos, which would mean, deductively, that with the water that was heated up before Shabbos, I can take a bath. But that's not true. The Hatanya, Chamish Uchma Meir of Shabbos Amachar Rochitz Ben Panav Yad Averaglav Avaloko Gufo. We know that with the water that was heated up before Shabbos, I can't take a bath in that water in my whole body. So if I want to wash my hands, my feet, my face, meaning body parts, and by the way, don't take the Gemara super literally. It doesn't mean just hands, feet, and face. It means if I want to wash limbs of the body, so that would be okay. But to go and immerse your entire body in hot water on Shabbos, even with water that was heated before Shabbos, that is prohibited. Albeit midrabbanan, but that's prohibited. Ela, so it must mean, our Mishnah must mean, pandaviyada viraglav. It means that you can't wash your hands, feet, and face. Meaning, this water that was cooked in Chamei Tveria, when the Mishnah says you can't be rochets, it means you can't wash your hands, feet, and face. So, ema seifa. Good. But now let's go on to the next part of the Mishnah. Now on Yontif, I cook water on Yontif. Can I bathe in that water? So what would come out from the Mishnah, if we're assuming the Mishnah to be consistent, is that I can't bathe in that water, meaning I can't even wash my hands, feet, and face. So lema tanan, stomach bei shamai. Now that's a funny conclusion. And what do you want to tell me? That Mishnah is going like Beis Shammai did not. Now we learned in the Mishnah. We will learn in the Mishnah. It's the Mishnah in Beitza. Beis Shammai Omrim, Lo Yecham Adam Chamim L'Raglav. Elim Ken Ru'i Lishtia. Uveisel Matirin. Beis Shammai says you can't heat up water on Yontiv, not even to wash your hands or feet in it. The only thing you could do on Yontiv is only heat up water to drink the hot water. Now, if there happens to be leftover of that water and you want to wash your feet in that water, that's fine. But primarily, you cannot, according to Beis Shammai, heat up water on Yontif to wash even your hands, feet, or face. And so now you want to tell me that our Mishnah here in Shabbos is going like Beis Shammai? That's very strange. Amar Vika Bar Chanina. Okay, good. So we are basically now at an impasse in the Gemara. Meaning our Mishnah, what's it talking about? Washing your whole body? Can't be. Washing your hands, feet, and face? Well, could be for Shabbos, but on Yontif, that would mean that our Mishnah is falling like Beit Shammai. And that can be. Now, just for a moment, let me explain this Beit Shammai position a little bit better. And then we'll come back to our Gemara. According to Beit Shammai, on Yontif. Now, you know you're allowed to heat up water on Yontif for eating purposes. In the case of water, for drinking purposes. Right? We know that. Bishul, for consumption is okay on Yontif. How about for other things? So that's the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, right? We're familiar with this machlokas. We've gone over it a number of times. Beis Hillel holds of this concept called mitoch. Mitoch shehutra letzarech, hutra nami shelo letzarech. That the once there's a malacha that's allowed on Yontif for eating, or in this case drinking, it's also allowed for other activities as well. So according to Beis Hillel, I can heat up water on Yontif for bathing. Okay. Does that mean I can take a bath on Yontif? And the answer is going to be no. But that's Gzera Derabbanan, that's a rabbinic decree. But on Yontif, what you could do, according to Beis Hillel, for sure, is heat up water on Yontif to wash your hands, or to wash your feet, or to wash your face. Right? You want to, on Yontif, you want to use the hot water, let's say you want to wash your hands in hot water, by all means. On Yontif, you're allowed to do that. Beis Shammai doesn't subscribe to the principle of mitoch. And so therefore, Beis Shammai says that the only thing you're allowed to do on Yontif is cook for eating. You can't cook for anything else on Yontif. That's the opinion of Beis Shammai. And so therefore, Beis Shammai does not allow a person to heat up water on Yontif to wash his hands, feet, or face. Okay? It's really an issue of mitoch. Good. But now we come back to our discussion over here, and our discussion over here asks a very simple question. What's going on in the Mishnah? Meaning when the Mishnah says that on Shabbos, the water is usher to do rechitza. On Yontif, the water is also to do rechitza, but Shabbos and Yontif are not the same. Because on Shabbos, you can't do any rechitza with water that was heated up on Shabbos, but on Yontif, you can do rechitza, you can do your hands, your feet, your face, panav yadav v'raglav. So, Amar Rabbi Ika bar Chinana, lihishtatev b'em kol gufo haskinan. The Gemara here is not talking about taking a bath, the Gemara here is talking about taking a shower. V'hai tanu d'tanya, and taking a shower may in fact be different, at least according to one Tana. We're going to learn a brisa together. Lo yishtatev adam kol gufo b'em mechamem b'em mitzonin divra meir. So we start off with the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that you cannot take a shower on Shabbos at all, meaning not in hot water, not in cold water. Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon takes the other extreme position, which is that you're allowed to take a shower on Shabbos, both in hot water and in cold water. Now, obviously, I mean, let me just state the obvious. Taking a shower in hot water, according to Rabbi Shimon, only with water that was heated up before Shabbos. Okay, just stating the obvious. And Rabbi Yehuda takes a compromise position, that taking a shower on Shabbos would be aser, even if the water was heated before Shabbos. But a cold shower on Shabbos, it's fine. Now, I'm sorry. Amar Rav Chista machlokes bekli. Ela bekarka divrei hakol mutar. Now, Rav Chista would like to qualify this debate. The whole debate over here is only when the water was heated in a kli. But if the water was heated in the ground, meaning it was an in-ground bathhouse, so divrei hakol mutar, according to everyone, will be mutar. Now, the Gemara says, that can't be. V'hamai said, anshei tveri bekarka hu. V'asuluhu Rabbanan, that can't be. Because our discussion over here in our Mishnah is the bathhouse of Tveria. That was in ground, that was Karka. Elei Itmar, Hachi Itmar, so the Gemara says, you're right, let's do an about face. Machlokis Bekarka, the whole debate is with the Karka. Ava Bekli, Divrei Hakol Aser, but when it comes to a Kli, according to everyone, it would be Aser. Now let's explain this a little bit better, let's understand this a little bit better. Now, if I heated up the water in a Kli, so according to everyone, it would be Aser. Why? Very simple. Because in a kli, it kind of goes back to what we discussed earlier this morning. Nobody knows how it was heated up. Right? A total unknown. So now if somebody sees me with hot water in a kli, and I go ahead and I either shower in it or I bathe in it, and people look at me saying, wow, how did that water get hot? What'd you do? You put it in the oven? Over a fire? And you try to explain to them, no, chame, right? It came from the sun. In other words, nobody knows where the source of the heat is, and so therefore it's going to be aser. As opposed to, and if it's in the ground, now we can have somewhat of a discussion. Meaning, now, right? Water, hot water in the ground. How did that get heated up? Oh, it's chame tveria. Oh, it's okay. In other words, there at least there's more room for consideration of why it would be mutter. Okay. So basically now, let's see if we can summarize and organize all this information. We have now our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that you cannot heat up, you cannot use the water of Chamei Tveria. And if you do so, in other words, and if you cook water in Chamei Tveria on Shabbos, it's like water heated up on Shabbos, and therefore it will be prohibited to take a bath in. How about taking a shower in it? Well, as we just learned in our Braisa, that you cannot do as well. There is a machlokus in our Braisa between Rabbi Yehuda, three opinions. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir is always going to be Machmer, Rabbi Shimon is always going to be Mekel, and Rabbi Yehuda takes a compromise position. And so our Mishnah that says that in the bathhouse, it's going to, water that was heated in the bathhouse, that's in ground, that's Bekarka, that's the machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, and where Rabbi Yehuda takes a compromise position, and then...
cold water.
All right?
He says cold water.
And then what would come out then is that according to our Mishnah would be going like Rabbi... our Mishnah would be going like Rabbi Meir, where you can't bathe in it, and you can't even shower in it as well. Okay. Now, this brings us to halacha talk. Amar Rabba Barbachana Amar Rav Yochanan. Halacha Rav Yehuda. So now, taking a bath with water that was heated up on Shabbos, no. Taking a bath with water that was heated up before Shabbos, again, no. Now, even there we get to qualify. You can't bathe your entire body, but you can bathe certain parts of your body with water that was heated up before Shabbos. Showering, meaning having the water go over your head, machlokas. Machlokas between Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda takes a compromised position. So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halachik Rabbi Yehuda. Sorry, I missed an important part. Amar Rabba Babachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabba Babachana quotes Rabbi Yochanan and says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? The compromised position. So, hot shower would be usur, and cold shower, mutter. And by the way, we're not talking about yantar, right? I hope everyone realizes. We're talking about on Shabbos itself, mutter. So, Amalei Rabbi Yosef, Befer Shmi Alach, Mechla Shmi Alach. Now, Rav Yosef turns to Rabbi Barchan and says, now, when you heard that from Rav Yochanan, explicitly or implicitly? Did he tell you this? So now, my klala. Now, first of all, before admitting, which he'll do in just a moment, that he heard this directly from Rav Yochanan, before getting to that part, where is it implicit in Rav Yochanan? To Amar Rav Tanchan, Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Rav Yanai, Amar Rav or Rebbe, Komakum Sha'atamotze, Shnaim Cholkim, Echan Machriya, Halacha Kedivrei Hamachriya. We like the compromise position. If I have two extreme positions and I have a compromise position somewhere in the middle, so the halacha will go like that compromise position. Now, there is a long discussion, which, not for now, in other words, just to be able to identify, when is it a compromise position? In other words, not always do we find... or is it considered a compromise? There's a long discussion. Tosfos over here on Memon Amud Aleph has a discussion of what do we constitute a compromise position. Okay, but just for our purposes right now, this is a good example. Because one position is that water, water is hot water you can't bathe with on, I'm sorry, you can't shower with on Shabbos, whether it's in the clear, whether it's in the karka. That's Rav Meir. Then there's Rabbi Shimon that says, whether it's a kli, whether it's karka, it's always going to be mutter because it's showering, it's not bathing. And then Rav Yehuda says, well, in the kli, it's going to be usur, but in the karka, it's going to be mutter. So in other words, he takes a compromised position. So this is a good example of a compromised position. Now, Rav Yochanan says, we always go like the machriya, like this compromised position, chutz mikule matlani yoshafa pisha, Rabbi Elazar machmer, Rabbi Yeshua mekel, Rabbi Kiva machriya. You remember, about a week and a half ago, we had the discussion about the matlonios, about the garment, the swatch of fabric, machlokus between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua as to its status of being tamei or being tahor. And Rabbi Akiva taking a compromised position, there's an exception to the rule. Ain halacha kedivrei hamachriya for a couple of reasons. Chada, Rabbi Akiva tamidu. First of all, Rabbi Akiva is not he's not on their level. He's not on the level of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yoshua, but rather he's a student. So that's not a student cannot take this compromised position. Va'od furthermore, ha ha, derbe Rabbi Akiva lagabe, derav Yoshua. Another point the Gemara says to consider is that Rabbi Kiva himself retracted. Fine. And the Gemara says, in other words, if you're right, so then we're good. Meaning, Rav Yochanan says, halacha like the Machria. There's one exception to that rule, that's by the Matlonios. This is not the case of the Matlonios. So in other words, we're good over here, right? We should be good. In other words, we have two opinions, Rav Meir, Rabbi Shimon, they're the two extremes. We have Rav Yehuda, who takes a compromised position, strikes the difference between Kli versus Karka. We should be good. The Gemara says, not necessarily, because maybe that rule of Rav Yochanan is only in the world of Mishnayos. Our discussion over here is not a Mishnah. Our discussion over here revolves around a Braisa. So maybe Avab Braisa lo. Amar le ana beferish shmiya li. So he says, okay, we could stop all this discussion because I heard it directly from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan told me that the halacha falls like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, good. So ends that discussion. So I say to you now, now what comes out from our Gemara over here is that we are two discussions to be had right now in terms of cleaning yourself on Shabbos. Again, we're not even talking about Yontif, on Shabbos itself. Bathing in hot water with hot water that was heated on Shabbos, absolutely aser. Bathing with hot water that was heated up before Shabbos, also aser. Just not min haTorah, but min derabbanan, it's gzeira derabbanan. And we didn't even learn the history behind the gzeira. There's a story behind that, but that's also going to be aser. Bathing in with hot water that was heated before Shabbos, just your hand, feet, and face, that's fine. That's okay. Now we move on to the next part of the discussion, showering. Showering with water that was heated up on Shabbos, that's absolutely prohibited. No. Showering with hot water that was heated before Shabbos, so now, machlokis between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda striking the compromise position, where if it's in a kli, it's aser, but if it's in ground, it's mutter. Now, in ground is a little bit funny. Meaning, the cold.
He only said he would compromise.
No, but
Rabbi Yehuda
allowed the cold shower. Sorry, I'm Rav Chisam Machlokas Bekli Avol Karka Divrei Kol Motor. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Becham and also Betzonei Motor. You're correct, right? Tzonei would be Motor. So I'm sorry.
So how's it going now?
Cold shower only.
Rabbi so again,
Meir is oser everything.
Rabbi Meir is oser everything. Rabbi Shimon matters everything, and Rabbi Yehuda makes the difference. I'm sorry, you're right. The difference is not between clean karka. I was wrong there. That was the Amoraim who qualified. That's, in other words, that's the difference between showering versus cold water versus hot water. And he osers. Sorry, Rabbi Shimon says that cold water is mutter for showering. Hot water is going to be oser.
Rabbi Yehuda.
Thank you, Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Now, what comes out now, before we get to showering, what comes out now is how about taking a bath in cold water? Yes or no?
Bath or shower?
Bath. I'm talking about a bath.
Should be us or the Rabbanan.
The Gemara does not discuss it at all. Meaning the Gemara has no discussion about taking a bath in hot water. There is a discussion about shituf, about showering, but taking a bath in cold water, seen from the Gemara, would be fine. Not only does it seem from the Gemara would be fine, but based on the correction that you just made, which is correct, according to Rav Yehuda, Becham and Itzasar, Abitzoni Mutter. Meaning, if you want to sit in cold water, so it would be Mutter. So it comes out from the Gemara. It would seem from the Gemara, the conclusion is that you're allowed to take a cold bath on Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch brings down, the minhag is not to take a cold bath on Shabbos. Why is the minhag not to take a cold bath on Shabbos? Because there are a number of other concerns and considerations. Schita of the hair, schita of the towel.
And they live in
there are people that go to the mikvah on Shabbos.
Yeah, so mikvah talk is a different talk. But you asked me what the Shulchan Aruch says. Shulchan Aruch says that the minhag is not to take a cold bath on Shabbos. But that's a minhag, though. It's not, from the Gemara's conclusion, it would sound like it's okay. In terms of showering, so, similar discussion, meaning showering in hot water is going to be also showering in cold water. Again, from the Gemara's perspective, it would seem to be okay. is there a minhag not to shower in cold water? So up for discussion. I know Rav Moshe speaks about this in one of his tshuvas, about showering in cold water. I don't remember what his conclusion was, but he has a discussion as to whether or not there's a minhag. Meaning we know there's a minhag not to bathe in cold water on Shabbos. That's already brought down the Shulchan Aruch. But I'm not sure, could look it up a little bit today, but I'm not sure whether or not there's a minhag not to shower in cold water.
The discussion of mikveh is different, but the mikveh here, the water is heated. During the
Shabbat. Yeah. During
the night.
Yeah. I'll get to mikvah talk a little bit later on. Itmar. We're in the Gemara now. We're on Daf Mem Amud Aleph. We're four lines from the top of the Amud. Chamashuch Mamer of Shabbos. I have water that was heated up before Shabbos. Rav Amar Lamacha Rochitz Mem Kol Gufo Ever Ever. Ushmul Amar Lo Itir Lechutz Ela Panav Yadav Viraglav. Now, the starting point for the discussion is you can't bathe in this water. That's the starting point for the discussion.
Did we finish concluding that?
Huh?
Didn't we conclude everything?
Yes, agreed. Meaning, I'll tell you how this discussion now gets developed. It gets advanced. Because we know that you can't bathe in water that was heated up before Shabbos. On Shabbos itself, it's not even a discussion. Before Shabbos should be okay. The Chachamim made it zero, so therefore you cannot. And as we already discussed, panav yada viraglav is okay. In other words, with water that was heated up before Shabbos, you want to wash your hands, your feet, your face in that water, that's fine. And now where the conversation gets advanced and developed is the following. What does that mean, hands, feet, and face? So to that, there's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Well, Rav will tell you that on Shabbos itself, with water that was heated before Shabbos, you can actually wash your whole body one limb at a time. Meaning the Gzera de Rabbanan is not to go into the bath with your entire body at once. But if you wash one limb at a time, that wasn't under the Gzera, and so therefore that would be fine. Ushmul Amar, lo itir l'chotzel upon avyad avraglav. Shmuel says, no. The Gzera de Rabbanan forbids you from bathing your whole body, even if it's only one limb at a time. The only thing that you could do is only wash your hands, feet, and face.
So he takes it literally.
He takes it literally. Now, let us not take it super literally. That doesn't mean on Shabbos that with hot water you got to stop at your wrist. It doesn't mean that. It means that you can't wash the majority of your body with hot water. That's Shmuel's understanding of the Gzera. Now, Meisvei. Chamashuch Mamer Shabbos Amacharochet Ben Pani of Yadav Raglav Avlo Kol Gufo. Tiyufta Derav. Now, I read the Brisa, and the Brisa sounds just like Shmuel. Meaning, because we read the Brisa literally. The Brisa says you can only wash with water that was heated up before Shabbos, only your hands, feet, and face. Sounds like you can't wash your whole body, even if it's one limb at a time. Amalecha Rav, well, Rav will say in defense of his position, lo kol gufo bevasach, chasela aver aver. So, no. The gzera is only not to bathe your whole body at once. But a limb at a time is fine. The hapanav yadav viraglav kitani. Now, doesn't the Brisa say panav yadav viraglav kain panav yadav viraglav? So Rav will say, well, don't do that. Don't read the Brisa literally. It means
like
your hands, feet, and face. Tashma the Gemara continues. Lo itiru lirchotz bechamim shuch memer Shabbos ela panav yadav viraglav. So again, the Gemara quotes now another Brisa, and the Brisa over here sounds more explicit. The Brisa says you can only wash panav yadav viraglav. Hachanami came panav yadav viraglav. Okay, and again, the Gemara tries to read the Brisa like Rav. Tanya kavase de Shmuel, but then the Gemara quotes a third Brisa, and here, no wiggle room in this Brisa. Chamem shuch memer of Shabbos, lamacha rochitz ben panav yadav viraglav, avalo kol gufo, aver aver. Here the Brisa says it straight out. You cannot wash your whole body, even one limb at a time. And certainly not with water that was heated up on Yontov. Or for that matter, Shabbos as well. Rabba Masi Lala Hashmaita, Derav Bahai Lishna. Now, Rabba goes over Rav's statement, but a little bit differently. Chamashuch Mamer of Shabbos, Lamachar, Am Rav Rochitz Mem Kol Gufo, Meshar Aver Echad. Now, this second version over here is a little bit different. You can't wash your whole body, but what you could do is you could wash the majority of your body and just simply leave out a limb. Now, I don't know how much a limb over here means, the toe, a foot, an entire ankle. But the truth of the matter is that halacha lamaisa, it's not going to impact us because we don't paskin like Rav. In this regard, we paskin like Shmuel.
Why could they challenge Rav from a brisa? Because Rav, you said Rav
would Yeah, but Rav would prefer to conform to the brisas. You're right. He does have the right to argue with brisas, but it's not a first position that he would like to take. So Mishaya Eivor Echad. Eis Vei Kolhani Tiyufta Tiyufta.
Yitzchak Kamenetsky, you're in the building. Please come to the candidate's office. Yitzchak
Kamenetsky, good morning. Okay, that's a real boss call. So the Eis Vei Kolhani Tiyufta. So the Gemara says, now, what about all these brises we just said? Tiyufta, the Gemara says, you're right, those brises are difficult, even for our new version of Rav. Amalei Rav Yosef Labai, Rabba Mikav, Kishmaita Derav. Now, I wonder, Rabba, now, he generally followed Rav, as we've learned earlier, as we're going to learn again right now. Does he follow like Rav over here? Meaning, does he allow you to wash your body with water that was heated up before Shabbos, one limb at a time? Gemara says, of course Rav didn't follow like Rav, because didn't we just have all these braces that challenged Rav? So perhaps, the Gemara says, lo shmi'alei, v'ilo shmi'alei v'adai avid. So the Gemara says, well, maybe he didn't learn all these brises, and so therefore he followed like Rav. So the Gemara says, well, the Amar Abai Komila Damar Avid Karav, Bar Mehani Talas, the Avid Kishmuel. Generally, Rabba always sided like Rav, with three exceptions. And those three exceptions are, Matil Mi Begad La Begad, can I take tzitzis off from one Begad and put it onto another Begad? Umar Liga Miner Laner, V'alacha Karav Shimon Begreira. So, and these three halachas, he follows like Shmuel, who tends to be makel on these three halachas, and not like Rav, who tends to be machmir. So now, summary of the question. Did Rabba wash his body on Shabbos one limb at a time, like Rav endorsed? So the Gemara says, not necessarily, kechumre de Rav avid, kekule de Rav lo avid. He followed the chumras of Rav, he did not follow the kulas of Rav. This issue in question is a kula of Rav, and therefore he didn't follow Rav in this particular regard. Okay, one more issue that I want to discuss for today, and then we'll stop for today. Okay, I know it's I confused a little bit in the middle of the daf today in terms of bathing versus showering, water that was heated before Shabbos, but let's see if we can be clear about a summary statement. And there's just one other point I would like to bring out. Okay, you can't take a bath in hot water on Shabbos. Okay, that's how can I say it any clearer? You're not allowed to. If it was water that was heated on Shabbos, then you violate a bishul. If it was water that was heated before Shabbos, so you violate gzera derabanan. And tomorrow we're going to learn why the chachamim made such a gzera. So you can't bathe in hot water. Period. Cold water. So from the Gemara's conclusion, it sounds like that's okay. As I pointed out, the Shulchan Aruch brings down a minog that we don't bathe even in cold water, even b'zman hazeh. Going into the mikvah, you'll forgive me, it's its own separate discussion. Mikvah may be different because it's a mitzvah. Although it does become more problematic when the mikvah is heated up, and all of our mikvahs are heated up. Okay, and even if it was heated up before Shabbos, there's a gzera d'rabbanan not to do so. So how do we allow going into the mikvah with the water that was heated? Okay, it's a question. It's an issue. And then on Yontif. So on Yontif, we know we could be more makel. But even on Yontif itself, you can't take a bath in hot water. That was also clearly stated over the course of the daf today. And the only thing I want to end off by discussing is, why not? Meaning, on Yontif, why can't I take a bath in hot water?
Showering
is okay. Perhaps. And the answer to that question is really going to be impacted by my next point. Why can't you take a bath in hot water on Yontif? You're allowed to cook water on Yontif. Right? You're right. And we do follow like the opinion of Beis Hillel, mitoch shehut shel tzarech, hut shenah mishelo letzarech. So then why can you not take a bath in hot water? And we know that also falls under the gzera of bathing. So why not? So take a look at Tosfos, and I'm going to point to an important Tosfos. It's on Lamed Tes Amud Beis, and Tosfos over here is bothered by this very question. So the Omer Ri in the Tosos of, I know there are a lot of them on this Amud, Beisilo Matirin. Right, where Tosos makes the observation which I just made. Mashma de Dafka Laragla Vavalsoch Kufolo, Vechin Mashma be Kulushmaitan de Machmirin Bechamin Shuchma Beyomtov Kechamin Shehukma Beshabbos. Vigazru Alazea Beyomtov Kema Beshabbos, Kedamar Bebeitza Behamevi, Ula Kamen. So the, right, Tosos says from all the Gemaras it sounds very clear that I cannot bathe on Yomtov in hot water. And essentially the question is, well, why not? And essentially, well, why not? Why can't I take a bath with hot water that was heated on Yantav? So Tosus gives an answer. Now, it's a difficult answer, but I'm going to present it as best as I can. Well, Tosus says, look, in order to allow, facilitate any malacha to be done on Yontif, it has to be shava l'chol nefesh. That rule basically means that it has to be a universal pleasure. Okay? So, for example, heating a fire on Yontif to get warm, that's a universal pleasure. Now, I'm going to say it, because Tosus says it, even though I know it's not going to be heard so well, it's hard to really convey this over, but Tosus argues that bathing is not a universal pleasure. Okay?
And, my kids.
Right? It's very, mine too. So the rechitza ina el latanug v'asar kamo mugmar, it's like mugmar, meaning, do you know that on Yontif, you can't burn incense on Yontif to make your house smell good. That's not universal, that's not done by everybody. Certain people do it, but it's not enough. It has to be something which is globally appreciated. And so the Da'asa Beperakam Dixufas, Mishum Dein Shavel Chol Nefesh, Vechein Mashma Beyushami. And Tosus over here has good support, meaning it's not just him saying it, which even if it were, that'd be enough, but it's the Yushami that says it as well. So you need something which is a staple pleasure. Bathing in hot water is not a staple pleasure. Again, it's also hard to understand, meaning we are bathers every day. We are daily bathers, right? I don't want to get into personal hygiene, but in other words, but we are a community of daily bathers. So it's really hard to understand how Tosus argues, but yes, correct. Meaning back in the good old days, they didn't bathe as much, and so therefore, bathing daily was not as much as a common staple, and that's how Tosus explains why bathing in hot water on Yontif is also going to be usher as well, and also fall under the gzeirah.